course, it occurred to me that the greatest gift is Christ, and that that's the gift we want to talk about. But one of the things that also occurred to me is that we get gifts that we don't open, that Christians fail to open the gifts that we receive in Christ. Last week, we were talking about the gift of rejoicing. We've been given the privilege of rejoicing. In fact, not just a privilege, we are commanded to rejoice. And so I talked about that last Sunday. And this morning I want to talk about the greatest gift that's given to us. It's a gift that is the hardest to give and the hardest to receive. It's the gift that God intends for us to share with one another. All of God's gifts for us are gifts that He wants us to give to others. He gives them to us so we'll be a blessing to others. He gives them to us so that we can share with others. For example, rejoicing, that we are called to rejoice. He gives us that so we bring joy to others wherever we go. And He tells us to learn how to rejoice, and He tells us to learn what rejoicing is for. It's for glorifying God with our lives. And as we do that, as we live that life as a Christian, it brings joy to others. Did you know you're supposed to bring joy to others? Okay, so smile if you know that. Be good to see some smiles this morning. There we go. I'm starting to see some warming up taking place. So this morning I want to talk about the hardest gift to receive. The hardest gift to receive is forgiveness, isn't it? We are hard on forgiving ourselves. We don't forgive ourselves very well. We remember things we should have forgotten that Christ has forgotten. And we don't forgive ourselves. We don't set ourselves free. And then, unfortunately, we don't like to forgive others. I found this word map, and I love it, because it is all words that relate to the kingship of Jesus. He is the king. He has dominion. It is His empire. He has authority, influence, leadership, jurisdiction, government. God is in control, and because He has provided forgiveness through His power, we can forgive others. And that's a marvelous thought, and we're going to look at that for a few minutes this morning together. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 6, just verse 14 and 15. I have it in English and Spanish on the screen for you. And so, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. Jesus said these words, if you forgive others, your heavenly Father will forgive you. Forgiveness is a gift God gives us in order for us to give away to others. It's a way of living that we live forgiven and we give forgiveness to others as a result. And then He says, did I skip one? If you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Think about that for a minute. So you're holding a grudge against someone. You're upset with someone. You're not talking to someone. You're holding out on someone. And I'm going to get into that in a few moments. But Jesus says when you're not forgiving, your Father's not forgiving you. That's pretty incredible, isn't it? We haven't really thought about that. We thought forgiveness was a private thing. He forgives me, and that's all I want is my forgiveness of my sins. But Jesus said, oh no, oh no, you don't understand. When you are forgiven, you are to forgive others. You're to live in a spirit of forgiveness. You're to be giving to others the forgiveness I have given you. It is a gift you are to share. It is a gift you are to give. And it's a hard gift to give, just as it's a hard gift to receive. Because we don't want to admit that we're wrong. Forgiveness, one Bible dictionary says, is ceasing to feel resentment for wrongs and offenses. In other words, it's pardoning. It involves the restoration of broken relationship. Primarily, forgiveness is an act of God releasing sinners from judgment and freeing them from the penalty of their sin. Forgiveness, primarily, is the act of God releasing us from judgment and freeing us from the penalty of our sin. Releasing others. When you forgive them, you release them, you set them free. When you forgive them, you take away your expectations, you take away your demands, you take away your insistence that they do it your way, or you're upset because they didn't do it your way, and you set them free, creating a new relationship. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, forgiveness means wiping away. God wipes away all our sin when He forgives us. It means removing a barrier so there is no barrier between us and God. It means that God has given us the freedom to be free of our sins. Isn't that a great way to think of it? To not live in condemnation, to not live in isolation, to not live with separation from God, but to be united with Him. We have to seek forgiveness in the disrupted relationships between people that need to be restored. We are called to be mediators of forgiveness. We are called to intercede and reach for forgiveness in relationships that are broken. Help two come back together to be united in love and in service together. We are to be the ones who speak to the need for forgiveness in people's lives. We are called by God to that. And so forgiving, wiping away, removing that barrier becomes a part of what we do in Christ. Miles, I'm going to need you to keep moving it from there. It quit all of a sudden. In both cases, this image of forgiveness revolves around solving a problem through either the removal of an offense or the reconciliation with someone. So you do something wrong against someone. Perhaps you take something they own. Perhaps you defame their name and criticize them or speak badly of them and it gets back to them. Perhaps you disappoint them or fail in a promise you've made and don't keep. And so they have something against you. And forgiveness is going and asking to remove that failure, to remove the stain, to remove the brokenness of the relationship, and to say, I'm sorry I did it that way, forgive me, or I spoke wrongly, I ask your forgiveness. And we restore relationship, we come back to where God wants us. We have to seek forgiveness in disrupted relationships that need to be restored. In both cases, this revolves around solving a problem and removing an offense so we can move forward in the relationship. Here's why forgiveness is a hard gift to receive. Because we don't want to admit we were wrong. We don't want to admit that we failed. God offers us forgiveness, but we say, well, I don't need it. I'm not as bad as Hitler. I can't tell you how many times people have used that excuse with me. I say, well, who, first of all, says Hitler is the standard that you want to compare yourself to? Secondly, it doesn't matter, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Scripture says we're all in that boat before we know Christ, and we need His forgiveness. We need to seek it. But you see, if I ask for forgiveness, then I'm not in charge. God is in charge. And that's the heart of why it is a hard gift to receive. Because you see, I have to renounce my sovereignty. I have to renounce my desire to always be right and allow God to forgive. I have to admit my need. I have to admit I've done wrong, and it has to be dealt with instead of my resistance and saying, well, I'm 98% of the time I don't make mistakes. Give me credit for my 98. And what do they do? No, I remember the 2%. Ask forgiveness for the 2. I tell people all the time, if you're only 2% wrong in the relationship, be the one who asks for forgiveness first. Forgiveness is the gift that sets you free. See, we always think forgiveness is the one that sets the other person free. It does. But more importantly, when we don't forgive, we're not hurting them. We're hurting ourselves. A lady many years ago now, she and her husband deeply hurt and offended our family in many ways. And after about a year, she actually was widowed. And after about a year of not seeing her, we were in a meeting together. And she came out of her way to say to me, oh, I am so sorry for what I did. Forgive me. And I just looked at her stunned and I said, what for? I couldn't remember. And I said, oh, I forgave you a long time ago. But you see, she hadn't forgiven herself. And so we begin asking forgiveness, not just to bless the other person, but to set ourselves free. of our own condemnation, of our guilt. Satan loves to throw up the past to us. He loves to remind us of our failures. He wants us to stew and live in our shortcomings and live in our misery. And what does God say? As far as the east is from the west, I have separated you from your sins. I've buried them in the sea of my forgetfulness. I don't know how God forgets anything, but he says he does. And so he separates us. Scripture talks about wiping it away, about God putting it behind his back so that we no longer have to live under that shadow. We no longer have to live with that condemnation. We need to remind Satan all the time that he's a liar and a false accuser. Don't accuse me. Don't come around here with that stuff. It's buried. It's gone. It's forgotten. In Christ Jesus, I am a new creation. What's the point of being made new if we're going to live in the old? I mean, you don't go take a 1948 bumper and put it on your 2018 car. Why would you hang around that stuff? You see, it's hard to forgive others because we want justice. When they hurt us, what are we saying? They were unfair. They were unkind. They hurt me. They took something I had. They hurt my reputation. They besmirched my name. And what are we saying? We're saying, I want justice. I want them to treat me fairly. They should have to pay. And so what we do is we become the judge and the jailer, punishing the other person, we think, when it turns out we're punishing ourselves. That's the tragedy. That's the sadness of not forgiving. The greatest gift of Christmas is a child that is born a king, and he has all the power in him to forgive because he is born a king. You see, I understand this a little bit. Having been born in England, I understand what it is to have a king and a queen. Now, we have a similar power here in this country with the president. The president can pardon, and the king and the queen can pardon. They can cleanse a record. They can remove a stain. They can restore a citizenship, restore a right standing. And so he is born a king, and in that kingship he has authority to restore, to make new, to make whole, to remove the past, to erase the record, to break down the barriers so that there's life and wholeness in us, the life of Christ through us. So our part, we don't know how we harmed the other person, maybe, or we don't even know that we did. They're angry, they're frustrated, they're full of pain, and sometimes our own frustrations, our own prejudices, our own anger can cause us to hurt the other person. And if the other person is hurt or damaged, we say, well, I didn't mean to do it. I didn't mean to hurt them that much. I didn't mean to say that. What do we have to do? The relationship's broken. We didn't mean to do it. The Bible seems to be pretty clear on this. We go to them and ask them to forgive us. You see, we've all fallen short. And so we need to live in the forgiveness of God. And there is an inexhaustible supply. Did you realize that? You don't run out of good points with God. He doesn't keep a score. However many times you ask forgiveness, Jesus said it in a beautiful way, didn't he? He said, if your brother sins against you 7 times 7 in one day, and we're not sure of all the numbers there. Part of it is that they weren't good with numbers like we are today. But at least let's agree that he means if they sin against you a ridiculous amount in one day, forgive them if they ask for it every time. Forgive. Forgive. Oh, no, I got to hold the record. They need to be punished. I got to withdraw my love. They need to know that I don't like them. They need to understand that they've hurt me, and I'm going to impose it on them. I'm going to resist them until they get better. Oh, really? That's your role? You're now judge. You're now God. You're going to impose justice? Let Jesus be king. Let Jesus be the king who keeps the record. Let Jesus be the one who restores and heals you when you ask them to forgive, and when you forgive them freely. You see, forgiveness sets us free. I want to talk to you about a story that was in the news this last fall. Not sure of the date of when it happened, but policewoman Amber Geiger from Dallas walked into what she thought was her apartment late at night. And she found a man in there eating ice cream, and she shot him dead, thinking he was in her apartment. That's when she realized she was in the wrong apartment. And Botham Jean, an accountant, was dead. The brother of Botham Jean, when she was condemned to 10 years in jail, Amber Geiger, the brother of Botham Jean asked the judge if he could speak to her and approach her in court. What do you think he was going to say? What do you think he was going to do? He wanted to forgive her. That's the man that she killed. Here's what he said, what his brother said to her in court. I forgive you. And I know if that you go to God and ask Him, He will forgive you. I'm speaking for myself, not my family, but I love you just like anyone else, he told Amber Geiger. Can you imagine forgiving the person who murders your brother? Can you imagine the love of God in this man to reach out and to forgive? And there's the picture. He hugged her in court. What I didn't know until actually I ran on it by accident when I was looking at these pictures is that the judge later comes down out of the bench and approaches Amber and says to her, God can forgive you, and once you've served these 10 years, you can come back into society and be productive. And she gave her a Bible to learn of forgiveness. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. He's the King who pardons. Kings can pardon. And because He's Lord of Lords and King of Kings, He can pardon completely. You see, all forgiveness flows from Jesus. One of the commentators in this passage says that in other religions, there's not the forgiveness there is in Christianity. In other religions, there's not at the heart of it this God who forgives. So what are you going to do about it? Well, the biggest question is this morning, have you accepted Christ's forgiveness? Have you unwrapped the gift of forgiveness? Or do you keep going back to the old life? Do you keep dredging up what He has forgotten and separated from you? Do you live in the light of His gracious forgiveness today? Do you know the joy of your sins forgiven and your record clean and white and pure? Somebody say amen, please. I hope I'm not the only one in here. Surely not. Glory to God. We've been forgiven. We've been redeemed. We've been set free when we ask Him. Scripture makes it clear that forgiveness doesn't come until we ask, confessing our need. We can't assume it. We can't just hide and think, I'll just sneak in with the crowd, or I'll disguise myself camouflaged in here and everyone will think I'm a Christian. No, we've got to come to this point of decision where we ask for the forgiveness of our sins and we turn from that life to Christ. Amen. It's what it's about. It's right. Satan is a liar who will trick you. And so this morning I want to ask you a question. Who do you need to ask forgiveness of? Once again, I'd remind you, you'd say, well, they did the bigger wrong. They hurt me more. I barely said anything. I didn't mean to. And all of those excuses don't work. Because if there's a broken relationship, it's your job to go and make it right. If your brother sins against you, Jesus says, notice that. He doesn't say whom you sinned against. He says, if your brother sins against you, go to him. Ask forgiveness. Open the relationship. So who do you need to ask forgiveness of, and who do you need to give forgiveness to? I want to remind us this morning of the greatness of our King. Miles is going to play for us this video. It's an incredibly beautiful video. Hold on a second. We're going to get Funa. Is Funa's back? Come here, Funa. Get this out of here, please, if you would, so we can turn on this screen. Does Stacy have the switcher for that? Alex has got a switcher for that. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you, Carlos. You can just lay it down, guys. That would work. Yeah, just lay it down. There we go. Let's just pray for a moment while that screen warms up. Father, this morning, your greatest gift and all the gifts that we give after Christ are reminders of the cross and Calvary and the gift of forgiveness. Father, help us to see in the bows and in the fancy paper, the gift wrap, and in the gift that we give, the symbol of your great forgiveness. No gift will ever cost as much as what you gave in giving your Son. And so remind us to be generous and to give the gift of forgiveness to others. Remind us to go and ask for forgiveness where we need to. Remind us to be generous as you are in the gift of forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to see this. This is a joyful, triumphant understanding of who Christ is.